President Biden's Supreme Court nominee gets a new burst of bipartisan support tonight to become the first black woman on the high bench. Republican Senators Lisa Murkowski and Mitt Romney say they will vote to confirm Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson's historic nomination to the Supreme Court. The senators from Alaska and Utah announced their decisions tonight, then took part in a procedural vote that advanced the nomination to the full Senate. A final vote expected sometime this week before the end of the week.
A little while ago, Dimitri asked Washington Post White House reporter Sun Min Kim just how delighted the administration is in getting three whole Republican votes.
The ceiling for Republican votes could have been just Susan Collins, who was always seen as the likeliest candidate for a bipartisan vote for Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson. Lisa Murkowski has political considerations that she is thinking about. She is up for re-election this year in Alaska. And Mitt Romney actually voted against Judge Jackson's current position to the D.C. Circuit Court of Appeals. And it's not common, I don't know if it's ever happened, where you oppose someone for a lower court seat, but then end up actually supporting them for something as powerful as a Supreme Court. He is certainly the only person I could think of. I think the White House went in thinking that the most that they could get in terms of Republican support was probably something like three votes. But also, it is a contrast to the second most recent justice, Justice Amy Coney Barrett, who did not get any Democratic votes during her confirmation proceedings in fall of 2020. She was actually the first justice in about more than 150 years to not get bipartisan support. So certainly the White House wanted to avoid that fate for Judge Jackson, and they certainly did.
Will Judge Jackson be able to assume her place on the Supreme Court by the end of the week? What kind of timeline do you know about?
She definitely will be confirmed, barring that everyone is present and healthy. Obviously, COVID and other health considerations have messed up the Senate schedule more than once over the last couple of years. But provided that that's the case, we expect a final confirmation vote no later than Friday. It could be as early as Thursday, but certainly by the end of the week, if nothing else bizarre happens in terms of just attendance and COVID. In terms of actually assuming the position on the court, Justice Stephen Breyer, whom she is replacing, has said he will stay on the court until the end of the term in June. I believe the Supreme Court has at least one more oral argument. Certainly, they have a bunch of opinions that they will be releasing through the end of June. So we expect Judge Jackson to be in position to start the new term in October, but the White House will be very happy to have her confirmed and kind of waiting in the wings for all that to happen later this fall.
What is a lesson learned here, that there's maybe a glimmer of bipartisanship, or are things as nasty as ever?
Well, they certainly got very nasty at times during the confirmation hearings. But I think one takeaway, particularly with the comments and the statements from, you know, Senators Collins, Murkowski, and Romney, the three Republicans who are in support, is that there is an acknowledgement that the confirmation process is broken and that senators really do need to try to get back to the place where they really were just voting on a nominee's credentials and qualifications for the court, not on ideology nor other factors. And, you know, both Democrats and Republicans are guilty of this, depending on the party of the president who nominated the justice. But you do see some clamoring from certain senators, and certainly the powerful and influential senators here, to get back to the days where someone like Antonin Scalia or Ruth Bader Ginsburg were getting confirmed with more than 90 votes. I don't think we're going to get back to that area, but certainly there's an acknowledgement that the process is broken and that something needs to be done about it.
Washington Post White House reporter Sung Min Kim.